Hey, don't forget to check out our great sponsors at soscustomtees.com. It's the only place to get official merchandise of the Double Dropkick Show. That's right, soscustomtees.com.
Hey, this is Robert Gibson of the Rock and Roll Express. When I'm around, I listen to the Double Dropkick Show.
Hey.
Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulligan.
I'm Mark Whitman. I can't hear myself.
Again?
Yeah, that's...
Well, we started the show, and we got about 5 minutes in, and I realized I had not hit record. I had hit the record button to create a new file into a new folder, and... I'm just a, you know, just an idiot.
No, well, you're not an idiot, but I mean, I think a lot of it boils down to, as I, you know, was saying earlier, it talks about our relationship.
Right.
That we come into your house.
Yes.
And I've already sat down at the head of your table. You've been by a stronger, more powerful man.
What are you talking
I said it before. I want to say it again. We walk in. I sit down at the head of your table and start telling you what's going on.
What? I gave you my cushion.
At your booster seat.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I invite you into my home. We normally record in my mother's basement. It's being fumigated. We're at the dinner table. And I offered you.
And you're dressed like a preacher, which is funny to me.
I am a preacher.
No, but you don't have that. That deal that, like, the Southern Baptist preachers have.
Right.
Where their butts is wider than their shoulders.
Oh, my word.
You don't really have that. You got the little dicky do going
on. Oh, my. I got Dunlap disease.
But you don't have the butt wider than your shoulders.
I don't know that. I know that that used to be the case.
A lot of them Southern Baptist preachers got them childbirth and hips.
I don't think that's just...
Not just Southern Baptist.
I think that's a non-denominational
thing. It comes from a lot of potluck.
A lot of people don't know. That's why the popes wear a robe. It's to hide that.
To hide them baby-bearing hips.
I mean, Pope John Paul, famous.
Yeah,
famously wide.
It's hard for them...
Oh, come on. Don't go there. Come on, dear goodness of mercy. Come on. Like that. Too far. Too far.
I didn't realize.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, you said try to ad lib something.
Good Lord. So we are. It is Thursday, May the 10th when we're recording this. You may be listening to it in 2024.
Right.
These shows have legs.
That's right. Okay, got legs. So May, Huntington's Disease Awareness Month.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So, yes, as many of you know, if you've listened to the show, my wife has a disease called Huntington's Disease. It's a neurodegenerative disease. It's like having Alzheimer's, ALS, and Parkinson's at the same time. She started receiving treatment and diagnosed about the same time we started doing the show. So the path of the show they've kind of run parallel with each other. May is Huntington's Disease Awareness Month, and thanks to our friends at SOS Custom Tees, we have a t-shirt out. You can get it at teammulligan.com. It says Team Mulligan Strong, Fight Against Huntington's Disease. Thanks to them and Mark, $1 for every t-shirt sold in the month of May. $1 is going to be donated to the Huntington's Disease Society of America. So our family's giving $1 per shirt. Boomer Payne and SOS Custom Tees giving $1 shirt. Mark Whitman's giving $1 shirt. So for every shirt you buy, $3 go to HDSA.
Huh.
So I'm very...
Well, I tell you what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I don't care how many t-shirts we sell. I said I'd give $1 for every t-shirt up to $100.
Right.
I'm just going to give $100.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
Dude, thank you.
I'm going to donate that.
Dude, that's awesome, man. I'm like,
you know,
you don't have to do that, and that means a lot to me, man.
You know,
that means a lot to me.
I've been blessed in this life, and, you know, I try to give back when I can. I know that there was a board down there one time about the things that the Christians do and the Christians don't do. And
on the whiteboard.
Yeah, and you know, it said, hey, Christians do all this. Non-Christians, they don't do these things. I like to prove that board wrong on a daily basis.
And sometimes you prove
it
right.
I didn't go to church Sunday, but I did feed a homeless man Saturday.
Oh,
so,
that's awesome. Thank you so much. So there you heard it, folks. So you still need to buy a T-shirt. And you can also, somebody asked last night, we have another T-shirt design that you can get at doubledropkick.com/HD. And it has, it's in a different color. So just thank you all for your support. You know, Mark's been a great friend through all this, through some tough times, which we talked about on this show. We're actually, peel back the curtain, we're recording this at my house today. Mm-hmm. Because
yeah, that part about me taking over the
that's all
the,
true
the leadership role in your home.
Yeah, it's all true.
What's Pam gonna be?
So, my sister-in-law Pam lives with us and kind of manages our household, and we're recording because she had to go to the grocery store today, and so we're staying here. You know, my wife's in the living room watching TV, and somebody's pretty much just got to be with her 24/7. So that's why we're. We're here at the house, but again, thank you for all your support. It's wrestling's been a great outlet and release, and these discussions, it just kind of gets my mind off things, for a while, and so.
Well, for the Double Dropkick Show.
Hey, so while we're on that, we do want to thank SOS Custom Tees. They're a sponsor of our show. SOS Custom Tees. It's great. They just released your favorite wrestler's T-shirt. The Austin Jordan shirt is out, and you can go. And listen, when you buy a T-shirt from SO, this is what they do for wrestlers. A lot of T-shirt companies, a wrestler has got to pre-order all these shirts. Mm-hmm. So they got to put up all this money up front to try to make any money on the back end, not SOS Custom Tees. Now, if a wrestler wants to order shirts to sell at their table, totally cool. SOS Custom Tees manages it all. People can go to the website. The wrestlers have to keep no inventory. SOS Custom Tees does all the work, and right. It benefits the wrestlers. It gets their brand out there. SOS Custom Tees doesn't say.
And if you're a wrestler from another part of the country, you don't have to live in our part of the country. Get in touch with one of us or Anthony Payne.
Yes.
He's Boomer Payne, but if you find him on Facebook or our or just go to SOS Custom Tees on Facebook.
So even if you're – so it's Mother's Day. If you wanted a T-shirt for your mom for Mother's Day, SOS Custom Tees, you can get a custom T-shirt. It's $20.
Right.
It's a great – like, and you don't have to –
We're shirts for Kevin Sullivan now.
Yes, and, Kevin Sullivan, Shane Douglas.
Shane Douglas.
They have one-of-a-kind memorabilia cards from some great independent wrestlers, and we got just signed a deal – that's going to blow some stuff out of the water. I'm really excited about that. We just launched the SOS Custom Wrestling Network, SOS Custom Network.
I still
haven't
got my password for this this network that,
well,
I'm,
you're
that in, I'm a part of.
You got to film.
Featured on.
You got to film a show today.
Okay.
We film the show. You get your password.
Okay. All right.
But, yeah, so you can sign up for a 7-day free trial, $4.99 a month after that. A lot of great wrestling content. We just uploaded a bunch of cage matches this week from the region. And it's wrestling you're not going to see anywhere else. And there's people on there. I mean, I was telling somebody the other day who doesn't watch wrestling, and he was asking me about the network. I'm like, this guy right here just wrestled at WrestleMania. He's on our network. Cedric Alexander.
Right.
And we've had the honor, privilege of calling one of his matches. Man, what a great match. Caprice Coleman.
Yeah, and then Gunner had a match with Gunner, who's in NXT now.
Yes,
so
you just never
and
know.
Those are going to be, I guess, those matches will be on that.
They are on the network.
That Caprice Coleman match with Cedric Alexander was great. So was the match with Gunner.
Yeah.
Really good match.
So anyway, soscustomtees.com, soscustomnetwork.com. Mark, we're recording this May the 10th, this Sunday night. This past Sunday night was Backlash. Mm-hmm. I did not watch Backlash.
I did not either. But far be it from us to let that stop us from talking about it.
And we do want to talk about, there was something that happened in the main event that we were talking about earlier.
Well, yeah, and I don't know if it's true because I didn't watch it, but the reports are that people were getting up and leaving. I don't know how many people. There's one thing I found about a Smart Mark is there'll be three of them do something, and they'll report it that they all did it.
Yeah.
But Lord forbid you generalize
right.
when they start acting a certain way. Wait, why don't generalize all wrestling fans based on those three guys?
So when fans say we, talking about all fans, that's okay. But if you call them out and put them in a group, that you shouldn't
be doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, evidently you don't have common sense if you do that. Even though I would say you lack the common sense to understand that when I say something, I don't mean everybody. You know.
But yeah. So, and then what you read some other reports about the response backstage?
There again, reports are what they are. I mean, you can't right. you can't really go by that. But I mean, the word going around is this was in a New York market and. And Vince, because, you know, it would be like would Crockett when Greensboro wasn't doing well.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big deal.
Yeah.
And it being in a New York market that they allegedly Vince McMahon really took notice of it and, you know, thought maybe we need to rethink some things here.
So
I think what they did was put him in a feud with Jinder Mahal because they figure everybody hates Jinder Mahal.
Right. So I guess Monday night Jinder Mahal.
I hadn't watched it. I don't care. And that's
right.
the thing. I mean, I'm kind of tired of this Roman Reigns thing too.
Yeah.
Like more so than the John Cena thing when he was doing the kiddie stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've really checked out of WWE, and I'm not saying this is a smart mark. I don't dislike Roman Reigns.
Right.
But it's not interesting to me anymore. Like you can't, the successful formula for building a top guy up is not beating him every week.
Right. Right.
I mean, I'm right. sorry. I don't understand that logic. I don't remember the days of Hulk Hogan or the Ultimate Warrior or Randy Savage or Ric Flair or Dusty Rhodes or Magnum TA or Steve Austin or The Rock or Vader or Sting or Barry, whoever. I don't ever remember this formula working of let's beat this guy every single week. All except for, as you might remember, I've been saying this for 5 years now, or however long they've been doing this experiment with him, that they saw what happened with Daniel Bryan.
Right.
When they beat him every week.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get that sympathy for
right.
Roman Reigns, but everybody knows that's what they're trying to do.
Right.
So it's
and you're talking about like completely different people.
Right, and it's that company. There's like this lack of self-awareness
right.
that exists with them inside the little bubble that they live in that Titus O'Neil slipped and fell.
Yeah.
And probably the greatest botch, I don't think it's hyperbole to say it was the greatest botch in wrestling history. Like, it really was. And it's like I knew – as soon as it happened,
yeah,
he's going to do a pratfall Monday night.
Yeah.
They lack the self-awareness to understand what made that great.
Yeah.
Was that it wasn't planned.
Right, right.
You couldn't plan that. And then he went out, and I watched it Monday night, and he climbs up on the ring apron, and he does this ridiculous kick his feet out and fall thing. And I went, that's it. Like, that's – you have something good.
Yeah.
That you probably could have used to at least.
Well, they made T-shirts. And
I don't
things.
Think that you're not going to make a main event star out of this guy because
right.
he tripped and fell. Man, that's not going to happen. But what made it great was that it was organic.
Right.
And that's what they've lost the ability to do.
Right.
Where when you have something that is organic, like Daniel Bryan, even that, like CM Punk would say, that's not for you, baby.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's for somebody else. Well, that's what being organic is.
Right.
Like, if this happened organically, you can't recreate
right.
the Daniel Bryan sympathy for Roman Reigns because everybody knows that you've handpicked him.
Right.
Like, it's just – they live in this bubble.
Yeah.
And, you know, plus, I just don't get it, man.
Plus, you put Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns – Daniel Bryan is the everyman.
Right.
Roman Reigns is like – nobody's like him.
But isn't that the thing? Like, we've talked about this before. Like, growing up, I liked the Ultimate Warrior because he looked like a comic book character.
Yeah.
And I liked all those guys because they were larger than life, man. Yeah. That's what you like about them. Now fans don't want to live vicariously through a guy who's 6'5".
Yeah.
And jacked to the gills.
Yeah.
They don't want to live vicariously through that guy. They want to live vicariously through the guy who kind of looks like them.
Yeah.
Who's not tall and he's not good looking.
Right.
And he doesn't.
Just kind of regular.
Just like Kevin Owens is. I mean, he's just a regular. Kevin Owens looks like any guy you'd bump into at a Walmart anywhere in the country.
Right.
He doesn't. But Ultimate Warrior doesn't look like anybody you've ever.
Right.
Kevin Owens walks into a room, you might not even recognize him. I promise you, when the Ultimate Warrior walked in the room, everybody's head turned.
Right. Right.
You know, and but people don't want to live vicariously through that anymore. They want to live vicariously through somebody that's more like them.
So that
and there's nothing wrong with that. WWE just hasn't caught up to that.
Right.
That way of thinking. They're still trapped in this thinking, well, he's 6'5" and he's good looking and he's muscular and why wouldn't you like him?
Right.
Well, you got him, he's been getting beat, you know, for 3 years.
Yeah.
By everybody except the guy, you know, you can't beat a dude like that.
Right.
Week in and week out. And you put him in this program with Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar continues to dominate him, and he continues to get shots against him. Well, what's the payoff? You know?
I don't know. So that leads me to –
unless it's he wins the Money in the Bank, and then you put Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar in a match together, and Seth Rollins finally gets Brock Lesnar to the point where he's about to beat him, and then Roman Reigns cashes in and comes out and takes the title, and you turn him heel. But then the people are just going to cheer for him. But that's how I'd do it.
Right.
And then you're off with that Seth Rollins-Roman Reigns. You can kind of revisit that again. And,
right.
And kind of get some traction with that.
So I want to
– You know why that would be important, though, right? You know why that would be a good
– Why?
You don't remember the – how Rollins won the title?
Oh, yeah. That's obvious.
Yeah, okay.
So, I want to transition into something else you want to talk about because it fits right into what we were talking about of who people want to pull for. And people now are gravitating to The Miz.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe part of that is here's Miz. He was on a reality show.
Mm-hmm.
And he liked wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And he parlayed that into being a wrestler and having a pretty lengthy and successful main event in WrestleMania. Beat John Cena in the main event of WrestleMania.
Got a lovely wife.
Got a child now. He's parlayed it into a long career, and people are just now a certain segment of fans, like they – are totally in love and infatuated.
Because he's them.
Right.
He's them. So I was a fan. I grew up loving it. I struck gold.
Yeah.
And got to live my dream. And he's good at what he does.
Yes.
He's probably a guy, they can give him a promo and he can knock it out of the park.
Yes.
He's good at that, man. I won't take that away from him. Here's what I don't like about it.
Yeah.
Here's what I see that nobody else sees.
Yeah.
I was telling you earlier, so we'll kind of just touch upon it. I heard Shane Douglas talk about this, and I've seen him do it. When he and Steamboat were having matches with the Hollywood Blondes, and they'd do this spot where, you know, Douglas would run in, and they'd be in the turnbuckle. You know, one of the Hollywood Blondes be in the corner. He's going to run in for some sort of splash, and they fall out of the way. He jumps up onto the second turnbuckle facing out toward the crowd and just jumps and does a backflip, kind of a semi-moonsault back onto Pillman or Austin. And nobody ever looked. There was a trust there that Pillman and Austin's going to be where they're supposed to be. Maybe it was a cross-body block when he would just do that where he'd flip back into a cross-body block. But he never looked.
Yeah.
And you see Steve Austin do this all the time. When somebody was going to hit him with something like a cross body block, he never stopped running.
Yeah.
They'd hit him with the cross body block, he'd still be running.
Yeah.
And all the great ones
Yeah.
do that.
It was fluid.
There's a fluidity to it, and they follow through. A guy's going to hit me with a clothesline. I keep going, so the clothesline hits me, and then I take the bump, and it looks like he killed me. Mm-hmm. But with The Miz, I see it in every match.
Yes.
Every move, there's either a hesitation or an anticipation of everything he does. Every time somebody's going to hit him, he tenses up. And every time he's going to do any type of move on somebody, there's a checking to make sure everything's in the right place. Nothing wrong. He works a safe style. Daniel Bryan called him a coward. However, Miz didn't lose 2 years of his career.
Yeah.
Honky Tonk Man, as we're talking about, has made a career out of walking to the ring and singing that song, getting in the ring, having a 3 or 4 minute match.
Shake, rattle, roll.
Shake, rattle, and roll, and sing the song again to send him home happy. So I'm not knocking his style, but it's not for me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like that anticipation and hesitation that happens a split second before everything happens in the ring with him. I don't know if you've ever noticed it.
When you first mentioned that this morning, I started thinking back, and I'm like, oh, dude, yeah. Like,
somebody's going to hit him with a crossbody block, he's halfway on the mat before they've jumped.
Right, right. And it's not he's just a guy, him now that I see that in a lot.
He works like a teenager who's pretending to be a wrestler on a trampoline.
Right.
That's the Miz's work style. He works like a guy that is just doing what he saw the wrestlers on TV do. And that's the way he performs everything.
Yeah, yeah. And to his credit,
made a career out of it.
And no major injuries. And like you said earlier, he's a guy. Miz, we need you to fly across the country and be on this no-name radio station at 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
Sure, I'll do it. Oh, he's a great ambassador for that company. I mean, I have warmed up to him a little bit. I think he's having a lot better matches. It's not like I just have to tune it. If he's talking, I'm tuning the TV out.
Yeah.
Because I just don't like to listen to him cut a promo.
Right.
He's good at it. I just don't like it.
It's not your style.
It's not my style. It's not what I like.
Right. Right. Here, I want everybody to understand, sometimes Mark is not saying The Miz is not good.
Mark is saying
I don't prefer The Miz. He's not my style.
Right.
I'm not going to watch it. It's like – there's some people like Brussels sprouts, some people that don't. Do you like cabbage?
I do. I really enjoy cabbage.
I hate cabbage. I don't like cabbage.
Well, that's
but you're not
reason number 1,346 why you're an idiot. We're getting cabbage for lunch. Cabbage!
Absolutely. Absolutely not. There'll be no cabbage. That's where I draw the line.
Cabbage, you can come into my house. You can tell everybody you've cuckolded me.
You can talk about the Pope.
You can talk about religion. You can, but I ain't eating no cabbage.
You can make fun of preachers. I draw the line of cabbage. That's where I draw the line. And now the world knows.
Well, now that we know where the line's
at. You know why I draw the line at cabbage?
Why is that? Because it makes you poop.
No. Because when I was a kid, I remember this distinctly. Is that me or you?
That's me. My water bill must be due.
My mom had a meeting one night. Mm-hmm. And it was just me and my dad at the house and my brother. And my dad cooked cabbage.
That's what he fixed. That's a standard, I'm a man, did he put smoked sausages or weenies in it or something?
I just remember having cabbage.
Yeah.
And he said, you're going to eat this. I'm like, please don't make me. Because it smelled terrible.
Oh,
and I just remember him making me eat
it. Put some mustard on
it. And you know what? I probably would maybe like the taste of cabbage, but that experience –
being forced to eat something.
Right. And it's not just the force. I remember how angry and incredulous my father was that I was refusing. And it, like, even now talking about it, like, I can physically see myself in the moment and how frightened I was. And you know what I told him? I ain't eating the cabbage. You know what I did? I ate the cabbage.
Yeah.
Never again.
Now, one thing about my pop, I will say that would have been different. His thing, and I've probably told you this, one time he fixed something for supper. My mom fixed something for supper. And we sat down, and I went, I don't want this. He said, oh, okay. And he reached over, and he got my plate, and he took my food, and he scraped it off onto his plate, and he had an extra piece of whatever, and he had some extra potatoes, and plus, yeah. And he gave me an empty plate back, and he said, maybe we'll have something you like for breakfast. And he ate my food, yeah. And I didn't get any supper that night, and I learned not to open my mouth.
And you haven't missed a meal since?
Now I take every chance I can get to eat. Ain't nobody going to steal my food.
Boy. Listen, when Mark and I record, we normally eat 3 or 4 times with a snack.
No, yeah, we don't. Well, okay. Yeah, we do. you know what I had on the way over this morning with my cup of coffee?
What?
A Star Crunch. In your honor.
Did you get the big coffee today?
This is what they got now. 7-Eleven used to have a big – by the way, 7-Eleven's got collectible Deadpool cups now.
Oh.
So I'm stopping back in there on the way home to get me one.
Yeah.
With a big gulp. But, yeah, this is it. This is – they used to have a cup that was like twice this size.
Right.
I don't know what's going on with 7-Eleven. But your coffee cup is too small now. I need a big cup of coffee. Not this little – 16-ounce cup of coffee.
I think that attitude, like, I think that's how we feel about wrestling.
If my heart's not fluttering, there wasn't enough coffee in my cup.
Right. I mean, it's the same thing with wrestling. We're wanting something. You're giving us – we want 24 ounces. You're giving us 16.
You're giving me 16.
And telling me to like it. Because
and not giving me another option.
Right. You're just saying this is 16. You don't even have – the caramel macchiato, the white mocha chocolate.
Wouldn't that be good?
You just got the – it's not even flavored. It's just black coffee. There's no cream. There's no sugar.
Well, they had some cream. I put cream in it. But it was that Brazilian dark roast. And it was pretty good.
I'm just saying WWE gives you no options. They're like
– oh, yeah. WWE's like, here's some vanilla with sprinkles on top. Enjoy.
What I find,
you know, what I think the biggest I will say this. I'm so want to get away from trying to overanalyze wrestling and just be a fan of it.
Right.
But I guess why I'm not a fan, like that's maybe where the direction of this podcast is going. Why I'm not a fan,
right,
of what they do. Natalya was a heel on SmackDown. And they moved her to Raw, and all of a sudden that made her a better person. Even though I know what the story that they're telling, that they're going to tell is, still, you just – that happens every week in that company. Somebody goes from being this terrible person to being a good person, and they don't tell the story of the journey to get there.
Right.
It's just we need you to be a heel now for this program. So, okay, well, I'll act like a heel. Or we need you to be a babyface for this program. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they just they deprive you of the story.
Right.
Of how they got there. Nikita Koloff.
Right.
Turning babyface was so good. That's just maybe a bad example because it was such an emotionally charged thing because of Magnum TA's wreck, because of the history. Mm-hmm. So for him to just one night decide I'm going to be a babyface. That made sense.
Yeah.
Because there was this backstory that everybody knew. These guys have been rivals.
Yeah.
And you know what? Even though I might not like him, what happened to him is a tragedy.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take his place and I'm going to take this banner up. So that switch happens overnight, but it made sense.
Yeah. And we still talk about it.
And we still talk about it today. Barry Windham turned heel. They didn't just turn Barry Windham heel. They put him with Lex Luger.
Yeah.
They had J.J. Dillon saying, I'm telling you now, you're going to need him one day, and he's not going to be there.
Right.
And then you get to that point when he needed Lex Luger, and he wasn't there.
Right.
And it was the spark that was needed.
Yes.
To make that turn happen.
That was 30 years ago in April.
Randy Savage, for a year, watched Hulk Hogan parade Elizabeth around. And in his heart, he's saying Hulk Hogan's got lust in his heart. What we really know is that Randy Savage has got jealousy in his. And there would be these little moments where you could see Savage looking at him and just, oh, I just want to take his head off.
Yeah. Took a year.
When they needed to turn the Horseman back to being heel on Sting, Ole Anderson explains it. Ric Flair explains it. What we've been doing behind.
Get out of this business!
You know, I was ready to do it that night, Sting. But Flair said, no, no, he helped me once. We let him live once.
Yeah.
You know? So all these things that you see, these heel turns, these babyface turns that mattered.
Yeah.
That you remember. And now it's they were a heel last week. We need them to be a babyface this week. So they show up and they're just hanging out with the babyfaces now.
Right. Right.
All is forgiven.
Yeah. I think that's why 99% of my wrestling watching now is live shows, and I'm doing stuff for the network, and it's mostly independent wrestling.
I don't even watch that anymore.
Yeah.
I just don't, you know. Who am I marking out over?
Right.
You know what I mean?
I enjoy now. Is for me is I enjoy watching the process.
Yeah.
I enjoy watching the process.
Mm-hmm.
I tried that in life to be in mm-hmm. the process mm-hmm. and I didn't enjoy it.
No.
I enjoy watching the process and hearing cards being put together and matches being put together and characters being developed and talk. I really enjoy things being laid out, and I enjoy you talked about things with the Miz, things that take you out of the moment, and like that's what I kind of want to bring back. Is I think a lot of times in independent wrestling, and I talked about this on one of the behind-the-scenes episodes, is what can you do at the independent level? There are small things you can do to create that. You said the word earlier, a barrier between the fans and the wrestlers. Mm-hmm. There's, like, you have to create a mystique, because now – like this morning, I'm going, you know, go to the hospital. In the last 2 days, I've encountered wrestlers at their workplace.
Right, right.
So the mystique, because most of the time, if you go to a wrestling show, you're going because one of your buddies is wrestling. Mm-hmm. So you have,
and then because he's your buddy, you're allowed to go backstage for some reason.
Right.
Well, you know, you're my friend.
Right.
But you can't come to where I work at. They won't let you in the gate.
Right. Hey, if I haven't told you.
And I don't get to say, but he's a friend of mine.
Right. I want you to know you are more than welcome anytime.
Well,
I hope you know.
They wouldn't allow you into where I work, and I got no interest in coming to where you work.
It would probably be good for both of us to go to where the other person.
That's
worked.
Right. But you know what I'm saying? Like, like just because you and me are friends, don't mean you get to come watch the process of what I do.
Right.
And I think that's a problem in independent wrestling.
Right.
Today.
Yeah. Yeah. So I remember being at a show and there's a curtain there. And you just from about 30 minutes before showtime to after the showtime, there's this constant flow of traffic.
Yep.
Behind the curtain.
For me, the first time we worked for Golden Corner, the very first show, I felt like I didn't need to go in the locker room. I hadn't earned the right to go in the locker room yet.
Right, right.
You know, like I felt like I needed to earn that.
Right.
Not just walk back there because I wanted to.
Right.
I remember they brought pizza in for the boys, and I was like, I don't know if I would eat it. I think I told you. I said, I don't think we would eat any of that pizza.
Right.
I don't think it's for us.
Right.
It's for the guys and they got bottles of water back there, but I'll go buy my own bottle of water because that's for the guys who are working the show. And now I've call them out. I've seen wrestlers bring friends of theirs. Who was it that brought the guy to the Three Count Show when they catered Chick-fil-A.
I think it was Drake, maybe.
And this guy is not even on the show. He's not working the show, but he sat backstage for 3 hours and he ate half the dinner. And we walked over and he had a bag with chicken sandwiches in it.
Right. He was eating all our Chick-fil-A.
He was eating all the Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And this guy's not even booked.
Right.
What's he doing sitting back there?
Right. Right.
What's he doing? I'm sorry. That's just how I feel.
No, that's right.
Your buddies shouldn't be able to just hang around backstage and eat the food that's provided for the guys who are working the show.
Right, right. Now, I think if a guy is a worker and knows other people, but in that instance, I don't think he knew the other people.
No, if you're riding along,
right?
Hey, man, I brought my gear. Maybe somebody cancels.
Absolutely,
that's different. But even then,
yeah,
go sit out in the crowd.
Right. Right, right.
You're not booked on the show.
Right.
Or if you're going to sit backstage, that's fine too. You're friends with the guys. The guys know you sit backstage. No problem with that. But what you don't need to be doing is eating all the food that's provided for the guys who are actually working the show.
Right.
No. That's my point. More than the sitting backstage is the eating the food.
There are very few buildings that I've been to where there's not – a secondary entrance into the backstage area.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would say is if you're working in a show, go that walk around. If a match is going on, don't walk through the curtain.
Oh yeah, I hate that when I see guys in and out and back and forth. And I understand you got to go if you got a table set up. You know,
no, right. Yes.
That's one thing. I mean, but man, just the walking around after your match, just walking around talking to folks, man, make a little mystique about yourself.
Right, right.
You know?
And certainly don't. I talked about this behind the scenes. If you are on the show, you cannot have it both ways. If you're on the show, be on the show and help create that mystique. If you want to be a fan and sit out with the fans and record your friend's match, if you go out to your merchandise table and you're going to record a match, totally cool. But if you're going to sit with the fans,
mm-hmm.
you can't be on. You got to pick one or the
That's
other.
That's a big thing for me too.
You got to pick one or the other.
I've been backstage with some of the top stars in the business, and I never ask anybody to take a picture with me.
Right. Right. Now I think
if that guy's not your friend.
Right.
If you, I'm not saying, you know, if whoever's there and you know him and y'all are taking, like me and you would take a picture together, that's one thing. But to me, I don't know. Just because you're in the locker room with somebody, if y'all
right.
didn't.
So Boomer,
I don't know, man.
Boomer and I were talking about this. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry if I'm not allowed to talk. And Boomer just said, you know what? If I were in the locker room with Steve Austin, I would get a picture with Steve Austin.
Yeah, I probably would too.
But I wouldn't put it on Facebook.
Right. Okay. I agree with that. Yes.
So I just feel like there's,
yeah, I think that's the issue there.
Like when
it's more the, I took a picture with this guy and then put it out there like we're friends.
When you go to a WWE show or a Ring of Honor show, you don't see people going in and out of that curtain. They try to create a certain mystique. That there's, like, to the fan, man, there's something going on behind there.
Uh-huh.
And I think I know what's going on behind there, but I really don't know.
Hey, I don't know. You don't know what's going on.
And what I found is what you think is going on back there is not really what's going on back there, you know? So to me, I don't let stuff bother me anymore. Like, I used to just get so stressed and uptight about little things like what we're talking about. And I, you know what? If a promoter or promotion doesn't care about certain things, why should?
Right.
And that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
I want you to care enough.
Well, I mean, you got people getting in that are, they're fans, man. Like
that's,
you know, some people are in it because they're businessmen. They're trying to make some money at it.
Yeah.
Sons of Steel, boom, you know.
Yeah.
Custom Tees and the network. I mean, we're trying to make money.
Yeah.
And that's different. You're a businessman.
Right.
But there's a lot of people that are just fans.
Right.
That are pretending to be wrestlers five times a year.
Right.
It's no different than me and you wrestling on trampoline when we were 16 years old. It's just, they're just having. And
were we 16?
Whatever, however old we were.
But, I guess we were.
Yeah, probably so. We were kind of sad. But, I mean, and there again, there's nothing wrong with that. If it's a hobby and it's fun right. for you, you know, do the thing. But don't consider yourself more than you are. Don't think you're more than you are.
Right.
If you're just having four matches.
I really believe there are some – there's something about wrestling that when you're a fan that you – there's a pull to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for a majority of the people, they see The Miz. They're like, man, if Miz – they see Daniel Bryan. Man, if Daniel Bryan can do it.
Yeah.
And people – like, Daniel Bryan, man.
He's athletically gifted.
He is a world-class athlete.
Yes.
And The Miz just – The Miz, whether you like him or not, he's got an it factor.
Yeah. He struck gold, man. He was in the right place at the right time.
He's a one in a million.
Yeah, he's in the right place at the right time.
And most of us are not that one in a million.
Right.
And I would just say this. If you're a fan listening to this, enjoy being a fan. Like what you like. Don't let – I mean, if you get an opportunity to – take opportunities. I take opportunities. If I get invited to ride up to a show, I ride to a show. If I'm asked to ring announce, I love – whatever I'm allowed to do. But now, like you said, with the network, I'm looking at – I'm trying to build relationships. I'm trying to get content for the network. That's my angle now. And I know what we're trying to put on the network. And so I say to promotions, okay, then this is kind of what we need from you. And so it's a different game. But it's still, at the end of the day, for me, it's about – the relationships and but if you're a fan, just enjoy being a fan, because I will tell you this, for the most part, the more you find out about the backstage stuff, you will be left disappointed.
Yeah, it's a lot more mundane than to me anyway.
Not just that, you're going to be disappointed. The drama in wrestling, the drama in independent wrestling.
Yeah.
Because you want to believe, oh, these people don't have the same problem. Listen, they got the same problems you got and more.
Yeah. Well, people have been told for years, well, those guys really like each other. And a lot of times they don't.
Right. Know?
Those guys, they just – that was the line I remember hearing when I was a kid. Oh, they all go out and hang out and drink. And I think that is just not true, because there's such – I mean, especially on the independent level, these guys trying to get ahead and just make a little bit of money.
Right.
You know? And
Ric Flair used to pull up in a Cadillac. He parked in a fenced-in area. And you could see him maybe – if you were lucky.
If you were lucky.
You saw him coming in. You saw him going out. If you, you know, you might see him picking up beer at the Fast Fair after the show.
If you were just lucky.
If you were lucky.
If you knew which ones to go to.
If you knew what hotels they stay. If you were lucky.
If now, you were a female.
Right.
You might get to meet him.
Right. Now, the wrestler pulls up.
In a.
The same car or worse that you drive. He parks. Now,
I can promise you most of them pull up in a lot worse car than I drive. I've seen them.
Yeah. Or they don't have a car.
They drive up in one like that Expedition I used to beat around in back and forth to work.
Right.
Because I was dirty going back and forth.
They park where you park.
Mm-hmm. They walk in with a trash bag with their gear in it.
And they work where you work.
I said it earlier, man. Why would I mark out for somebody and stand in line to get my picture made with them on Saturday when if I just wait till Monday, they'll fix my hamburgers and french fries for me?
Right. Right.
Why would I?
And then nothing.
I'm not marking out over no independent wrestlers. I'm sorry, man.
Right. And what you – listen, hear what Mark – he's not – there's nothing wrong with
no.
with nothing wrong with working.
No.
Nothing,
listen, I
– but Mark's just saying
– like, what am I – like – what's the big deal about you? I enjoy matches that a lot of these guys have.
Yeah.
But the way some of them act online, like they're a lot bigger deal than they are.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I just don't I don't understand it, man. I mean, I do. They get in their own bubble of everybody telling them how great they are.
The echo chamber.
You're right. It's like you call it. It's that echo chamber.
Nobody.
But, you know.
Let's touch on this for a moment. With independent wrestling, nobody wants to tell the truth anymore because the guy's your friend.
Right.
You work with him. You right. know him. You don't want to tell Bob.
Right.
Bob, your match sucked. It was terrible.
It is. And I've seen two guys recently selling their used trunks online. Who's buying these trunks?
I don't – here's the thing.
That's pretty much underwear. It's basically me buying a pair of drawers from somebody. Now, why would I want to do that?
Now, I think I see what you're saying, but there's a market for it.
I know. I'm just saying that's stupid. I got some drawers. If anybody wants to buy them, I'm right. selling used drawers.
Right.
That's what they are. They're underwear, man. They underwear. They've right. been around. They cut the whole section of your body that I don't want to be nowhere near.
Now, I think the memorabilia card is a different thing because it's in a little plastic thing.
That's different. That's a card. I'm talking about these people selling the
what
trunks.
Are you going to do with them?
What are you going to do?
I don't blame the dude for selling them.
Make money. Right. But what are you going to do? Put them on and pretend you him?
I saw your post about that, and I would – so – you saw Hogan's Mega Powers.
Mm-hmm.
How much were they selling?
No, they were just on display at the beat shop.
So, because I think you and I should do a calendar, all right, where we get the used trunks, and like May is like us wearing Mega Powers trunks. I just think, I mean, it would be one of the most grotesque things.
Yeah, nobody wants to see that. That's the opposite of the good-looking fireman calendar. Whatever this calendar you're thinking of.
Nobody wants to see it, but nobody would look away.
This is true. It would be like a train wreck. Oh, that's awful. I don't even want to see that. I can't imagine. I don't know that I could fit in Hogan's Mega Powers trunk.
You're saying he's got the Baptist preacher syndrome?
I'm saying – I do. I'm just the opposite. My rear end's a lot smaller than my shoulders.
But I just
yeah.
Selling draws.
Selling you drawers.
I got no problem. I mean, I know that some of these guys.
I do.
You got a problem with them selling them.
I do.
But if you knew.
Stupid.
But
man.
If you knew somebody.
Listen, I'm telling you, if somebody wants to buy a pair of my dirty underwear, I'll sell them to them.
All right, so yeah.
So yeah, I'm not, I don't have a, listen, people can spend their money on whatever they want to. They can do whatever they want to. I just don't understand why you would want to buy a pair of underwear that somebody else has worn.
Yeah. Speaking of that.
This is not even, I'm talking about, I don't want no women's underwear either.
Oh my.
You know what I mean? I don't want nobody's used underwear.
You don't want any memorabilia that has directly come in contact with the nether regions of any human being.
No, I just don't. I don't understand it. As I said, Francine was selling some lingerie on Twitter. I think I talked about it in the
right.
post. I wouldn't even want that. Why would I want? What am I going to do with it? I got an idea. What people are going to do with it?
Oh, my.
What are you going to do with a pair of somebody's trunks?
Send your ideas at the DDK show on Twitter. What would you do with the used trunks?
I mean, when they talking about selling them, they talking about how worn they've been. I done worn these.
I've worn these for 7 years.
I know, man.
I've had 100 matches and they've been washed twice.
These things smell like a city dump. You can get them. You can get them today. Serious inquiries only.
Let me close with this. Had a conversation yesterday. We're talking about. In a sense, talking a little bit about hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a wrestler, so if you're a fan of this, I think you're going to hear what I'm saying. I think everybody's experienced this. If you're a wrestler especially an independent wrestler, especially a wrestler in a prominent position in an independent promotion, and you are going to be, let's say, the face of the company. You're going to be somebody who's taking pictures and selling merchandise, that you're going to come in contact with more than your share of fans at, mm-hmm. at a show. As Mark would say to me, let's invest in some Tic Tacs. Let's get some Axe body spray. Let's wash that gear.
Yeah. Because that stuff stinks, man.
Let me tell
you. It does stink, dude. I
came in contact with a wrestler, and I'm talking about before, during, and after the show.
Who was it? Put him on blast.
Nah.
Put him out there. They stink. Put him out there.
Nah.
Give me an initial.
No, can't do it. I'll give you off the record.
Give me one initial.
Nah, can't do it.
Huh?
I can't do it. Their name has a consonant in it.
I don't know what that means.
But anyway, so I'm just saying, like, that is a turnoff to people. That, like,
I tell you what's a turnoff to me.
Oh, shut
speaking
up.
Speaking of Tic Tac, and then you get in here blowing your breath on me. I wish y'all could be over here. Maybe you ought to heed your own advice. Get yourself a Tic Tac. Quit blowing that dirt stink breath on me. Talking about, I mean, did you eat a piece of crap when you got up this morning?
All right, Mister.
Did you go, hey, there's a turd. I think I'll take a bite out of that.
No. The only turds I deal with sit at the head of my table. But... what are your thoughts?
As I told my nephew the other day, when we were talking about hygiene, and he's getting older,
right?
And, you know, I said, "Man, here's what I learned a long time ago: your breath's gonna stink throughout the day. This is life. Anybody that acts like there's probably some people whose breath don't stink,
right?
But they're also the same people that are famous on Instagram because they're beautiful."
Yeah,
and there's nothing wrong. They're flawless. Those people's breath probably don't stink. So get you some of that brown Listerine. I'm talking about the hard stuff.
That's right.
Get you some of that first thing in the morning. After you brush your teeth, you wash your mouth out with that Listerine real good.
And it's torturous.
I keep that in my bathroom, and then my bag that I take to work. I keep another thing of Listerine, and about halfway through the six-hour shift, I take a swig and wash my mouth out again. Other than that, what else can you do with
it? I mean, Listerine not only kills the germs that cause bad breath, it kills some of your taste buds.
It kills some of the germs that you actually need. Yeah, it'll leave your mouth burning a little bit.
Like, Listerine is used in hospitals, like, to sanitize the doctor's hands before they do surgery.
A lot of times when you spit Listerine out, you'll see little chunks of gum in it. Darn, I must have left that in there a little too long. Got to burning top layer of skin off.
I'm going to tell you this. I guarantee you, Roman Reigns and The Miz smell magnificent.
I would say most people of that caliber, when they meet when they're out meeting and greeting fans, they taking the time to. I was always told that, like, that was part of my training. Was
really
need, yes, sir. Was you need to wash your gear and you need to put a breath mint in before you go out in the ring. Chew some gum right before you match or something like that, that. When I was trained, that was part of the training.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. That's important.
Yeah.
Not everybody followed.
Nah.
You know, but that was always something that I was told, that you needed to take care of, put deodorant on, wash your gear, because you're working once or twice a week. You can wear it, but then during the week you need to wash it.
Right.
And then put something in your mouth before you go out to the ring so your breath won't stink.
Right. Yeah. Good advice.
My advice to you, stop putting turds in your mouth. Throw a Tic Tac in.
Well, listen, I was trying to come up with a comeback. It got convoluted in my brain. I was trying
to. Somebody's accused you of eating Dookie. There's really not much of a comeback for that.
Right.
All you can say is I didn't eat Dookie. That's pretty much the only comeback for.
At this point, if I have to say, I can't. I mean, listen. There are people.
Stop generalizing all people with bad breath.
I think
as people who eat doo doo.
I think maybe I do need to say it for everybody listening. I do not eat Dookie for breakfast.
Eating them Dookie-os.
I mean, I don't eat doo doo for breakfast. I do not pee pee on the floor. And I do not abuse animals. I want that to be very clear. I mean, there's probably somebody. You think that? Why you? Well, Mark said it. Mark said it, man. You think Heath really eats? I mean, I've Heath's breath's been bad a couple of times. You think he's really eating? Where's he getting it from?
You think he's eating them Dookie-os?
Where's he? Honey, get to Google. How do you Dookie-os?
I'm gonna see if them things really exist. I bet they smell horrible.
Yeah, that's terrible. Mark laughed so hard the dogs got riled up. Anytime I can get a laugh out. That's all I do the show for, to get that uncontrollable laughter. It's easy to get me to cackling.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, hey, we'd love to know what you think about, do you like the regular Dookie-os or do you like the peanut butter?
do you like smooth or do you like chunky?
The Dookie-os. I'm going to have to buy the domain name. We need to hook up Conrad Thompson's guy, which as much as I make fun of him, just bought tickets to see him and Bruce Pritchard at WrestleCade, is that what that's called? Okay. Anyway.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, you said you couldn't go?
Did I?
Yes, you did.
You didn't ask.
I did.
No, you didn't.
Had this conversation.
No, you did
yes,
not.
Yes, we did.
You did not.
You said you had to work that Saturday. You said, and I quote, March 24th, I will probably have to work that Saturday and come home early.
And that is true.
Anyway, let us know what your favorite flavor.
It doesn't make me any less hurt.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
I'm getting used to it.
You like that seat you're in? Head of the table?
Uh-huh.
It's a price you pay for being the man of the house. Hey, at, oh dear heavens, at Heath Mulliken.
At the DDK show.
Become a patron, patreon.com/doubledropkick. And roll with the punches, maybe.
Oh, I'll tell you. I'll say it. If you become a patron, I appreciate it. You're welcome to suggest anything that you want to suggest, and I'll be happy to talk about it.
Yes.
I don't care how much you give, $1, $20. If you say, hey, would you be my – well, because a lot of times what happens is we can't do a whole episode on somebody like Jimmy Garvin, but
yeah.
People say, what do you know about Jimmy Garvin?
Right.
And I can talk about him for 5 minutes or something like that. I get requests like that all the time. What you ain't going to do is tell me what I can't say. I don't care how much you give us.
In our own group, yes. So. Yeah. So anyway, patreon.com/doubledropkick. We're so used to saying iTunes, Stitcher Radio. It's actually Apple Podcasts is what it is. I think it's still iTunes if you're on your computer, Stitcher, Google Play. We're trying to get on Spotify. That's in the works. I don't know that people are going to listen to us on Spotify. Also, real quick, if you are using the podcast app on the iPhone or iPad, if you have subscribed to the show and you're just going through episodes and you just like where it just lists episodes and you download the episode and then delete that episode. For some reason, for some people, it is unsubscribing you from the show, and then you're not getting updates on the show. So I would just, you just need to know, we put out at least one thing a week, whether it's on Monday or Friday. Most of the times it's
well,
both.
We don't.
We put out
you
something.
You put every- out something, and then we put out something together.
But there is something that comes through that channel, that uh-huh. feed, yeah. at least once a week. So if you go multiple weeks without seeing something, then something's going on. So thanks to a longtime listener, longtime supporter, Scott Hicks, made me aware of that. So that's just a problem with the – and I've had issues with the podcast app, but it is what it is. And
it's the best we can do with what we got.
Right. So, again, we're on multiple platforms. You can listen to us at doubledropkick.com. And we're getting ready right here to record, so you'll be hearing this next week. So, spoiler alert, we're talking about Avengers.
Go ahead and start the spoiler alerts.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
By the time this comes out, it will have been a month. I feel like everybody that wants to see it
yes.
will have seen it. And if you hadn't, then you should skip that episode.
And spoiler, the picture for that episode is going to be a spoiler.
Yeah.
So, too
I
bad.
I saw that picture before I saw the movie.
You know? It wasn't my
well,
fault.
Well, no, it wasn't your fault. But that wasn't, you know, yeah. I knew like a week was even stretching it that people were not going to start talking
let's,
about
well,
it.
Well, let's, yeah, let's save that for the, whatever, for the next episode. But as always, for the Double Dropkick Show and Whitman Incorporated, I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.